Welcome to the Bowers & Wilkins webcast with your hosts, Peter Madueno and Seth Snyder.
So welcome to the Bowers & Wilkins podcast. Once again, this is Pete Madueno. We have Seth Snyder. How are you doing today, this fine day, Seth?
What's up, Pete? I'm hanging. No, doing our thing in quarantine.
Aren't we all? We are all. Though there looks like there could be a light at the end of the tunnel. It's a far tunnel, but we're approaching it fast.
Hopefully, it's not a train.
as I'm sure we are all ready to get back to work, our regular day to day.
Yeah, definitely. So, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to talk about some mini theater speakers and some CI speakers that we have. Some of our more very impressive yet inexpensive audio solutions that we have. To start, we're going to talk about the M1.
Yeah. So the home theater box killer.
Yeah, absolutely. So explain that to me. What is a home theater in a box? And explain to me, how can this be the product that beats a home theater in a box?
Home theater in a box is exactly what the name suggests, the old HTIB. It's everything you need, doing air quotes right now, to get a home theater in your living room. So a lot of the times it'll be a Blu-ray player that also operates as an amp for a multi-channel system. It might be an actual receiver in the box. With usually a bunch of low quality, cheap plastic speakers, a bunch of wires. And over the years, they've frustrated customers because, you know, running a 5.1 system cleanly, it's not easy to do. It's something that professionals do, like the ones that we're talking to right now or listening to this podcast. You know, it's customers sometimes have trouble running wires and they don't give you enough wire. And it's just not a very custom solution that looks good at the end of the day. On top of that, you're in a little cookie cutter box that really doesn't, may not meet all of your needs from a technology standpoint or as far as features in the receiver. So you're really limiting yourself on what you have. And when you get into those really entry level ones with, you know, a Blu-ray player doubling as a home theater receiver, a lot of them are outputting power at stupid impedances. So you're, when one part of the system goes, the whole system's shot. You got to swap everything out. Whereas in a modular system, like, you know, like it's, you know, you can grow with it over time.
Yeah. And who's still buying Blu-rays? Like,
yeah, exactly. Blu-ray sales, like the chart of their sales over the past 10 years looks like a good place to go skiing. Like, it's just downward slope.
I don't even know if they would be a double black diamond.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, the people who are buying Blu-rays are the people who are doing quote unquote big boy systems. They're buying, you know, 700 series, 800 series. They're buying CT. Like, the people who crave quality know that you have to have good power, good speakers, good transducers. You got to have the good stuff in order to get the most out of that Blu-ray. So for the entry level customer, the home theater in a box, like, oh, this is everything I need, because they're just going to be streaming off of Netflix anyways. Whereas if they would step up a little bit, moderate increase in price, they can get into an M1 package where not only could you get everything out of the Netflix stuff, but if you wanted to buy Blu-rays, you would be able to get a serious amount of joy and quality out of that disc that you bought using M1s, because they're just a kick-ass little speaker.
Yeah, and you can still stream in, you know, some really incredible audio. And if you buy the movie and download it in, you know, 4K, you're going to get the awesome audio. So it doesn't have to be required a Blu-ray.
Yeah, for music, I'm actually
a number of
formats.
Absolutely. So the thing that, you know, the M1s you talked about, they're the, you know, you can use them in a 5.1 scenario. What sub would you recommend with the M1s? Like, what would not be a, you know, what would be a nice complement to an M1, a 5 package?
5 dB ones. Like, let's get weird. No, I mean, there's a bunch of subs that work really well. Because of the price point that you're at, a lot of people will go with, like, a simple ASW 608 or ASW 610. A simple sub-$1,000 solution, and that's fine. I mean, that'll work. I like to beef it up a little bit. They're small, compact speakers, so I don't mind a small compact sub. I think a DB3 is a fantastic compliment if someone's willing to spend the dough. Because it ends up being more than the price of the other five speakers, which, you know, sends a rookie customer for a loop sometimes. Like, it's not out of the question to spend more on a subwoofer than the rest of the system. If that's the type of, you know, extension you're after, I think it just complements it really well. In the past, we've also used the PV1D as a great solution. I've heard that system a couple of times, five M1s and a PV1D, and it's just silly. It sounds awesome. So that is another one. Another one you can look at. But right now, with the DB3 at the price that it's at and the size that it's at and the features as far as the tuning app, I would if the customer's not, you know, opposed to spending a little bit more, DB3 all day. So yeah, I think it's money. And to your point with the streaming customer, like, five is typically what people buy, but if you get into if the customer's watching Blu-rays, get them seven so I can get into those DTS and Atmos systems and, you know, have some fun with it as well.
Well, can these M1s be used as in Atmos applications? How would you build an Atmos system with them?
Well, you'd use them as heights rather than in ceilings. So they mount to the wall. I guess just talk about the speaker itself. So the speaker itself is a little small, probably, you know, about 6 inches tall and maybe a little bigger, about 8 inches tall. And it's got a 4-inch woven fiberglass mid and a 1-inch aluminum dome sweeter. That's in this little clamshell material. And there's this little post that comes off the bottom. That post can mount into the pedestal that it sits on for a bookshelf application. You can use that post to connect to the wall bracket if you want to mount it to the wall. It's a slick little wall bracket. Post clicks down into it, and then there's a little slot for the wire to come out of the wall, so you don't see anything. You just see the little speaker on that, and an attractive little cover that goes over top to cover up anything. So you can mount it to the wall for your five on the floor, your seven on the floor, and then for the Atmos channels you're talking about, you would want to mount them up close to the ceiling and then aim them down into the room. You don't want to mount these things to the ceiling because over time the post will become disconnected and it'll break. They weren't designed to be mounted to the ceiling, but you can get them right up to close to where the ceiling is, right, like right up against the ceiling and mounted to the wall and achieve a similar effect that way.
Yeah. And we have a solution for putting something in the ceiling if we wanted to put it.
Yeah.
Do an Atmos in the ceiling.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. And don't forget, before we jump into the next one that you just artfully segued into, and I'm going to step all over it. You gotta also have an M1 stand. Is a stand that the speaker plugs into, and then the terminal connection is down on the pedestal. So if you want to put them like behind the back on the couch, like they say, the customer has, you know, a 5-channel or 7-channel system, but they're right up against the wall. You can put these pedestals to the left and right of the couch and get the surrounds where they need to be. But if you're going in ceiling, like what you were talking about, you can go into that same level of price point. You can get into the CI 300 series. So if you can cut a hole in the ceiling or in the wall, for that matter, you can do that too. So,
yeah, the CI 300 series is one of my favorite speakers. In all honesty, I think it sounds absolutely incredible. It blows a lot of the competition away, and the price point is absolutely ridiculous. You know, we are Bowers & Wilkins. A lot of times we do make some expensive speakers, and a lot of times when people think about Bowers & Wilkins, they think about expensive speakers. So especially when you start talking about in walls and in ceilings, you know, how many times you walk into a store, you talk to a client, you talk to an associate, and they're like, oh yeah, they just bought, you know, 8 pairs of in-ceiling speakers. Oh, we went with brand A or brand B because Bowers & Wilkins, you guys are just a little too expensive. And it's like, well, what do you mean? We have, you know, the CI 300 and it's completely forgotten about. It absolutely sounds fantastic. And it is a really incredible speaker for the price.
Yeah, that's one of those things that we talked about with Andy when we were talking earlier about how we do the things we do. Like, we make our own transducers. We make our own drive units. We design them. So it's one of those like situations where, like, if we're doing it at the, we'll call it bottom of the barrel price points, because a 362 is only going to cost you like $175 each. If we're at like really, really entry level price points, we don't have to buy drivers from company A for our tweeter and company B for our mid-range driver and try to fix it at the crossover level like other companies do. We make our drivers so you can get a much higher level of quality and because of the way we structure our company, as far as, you know, what we charge for speakers, a crazy amount of quality for not a whole lot of money. So and that's one of
the, the 6-inch model is what, $350 for the pair.
Yeah, it's they're 170. The 6-inch model is 175 each. The 8-inch model, that's my favorite. That one's only $225 each, and that's the one that I use in the switching rooms at Magnolia. Like, I'll just go in there and play any song, and then I'll put up against speakers from other companies that cost three times as much, four times as much, and they just smoke them. And it's one of those.
Yeah, that's all. That's always, yeah. And sometimes the faces that people make, they're like, "Well, what are you doing different?" It's like, "I'm not doing anything. I'm just pressing play. I'm pressing play. I'm not in here. I'm not trying." I mean, that's the one thing, is we're not here to lie. It's you know, it is what it is.
There's no fancy DSPs or anything like that. It's this crazy thing that whenever you just play a speaker, whenever you make a good speaker and you have good amplification, you don't have a bunch of freaking problems to solve. You don't have to adjust a hip hop curve and a rock curve because it's going to be able to handle all volumes. I have been in so many houses where, you know, you got a bunch of little 3-inch drivers all over the house and little subwoofers. And to get it thumping for hip hop, you got to adjust this EQ, the EQ curve, and then you put it on rock and it just sounds big and stupid like a dumb car audio system. So you adjust that curve and then you go back to hip hop and it just subs just fart on you because they're bottoming out. If you just have a bigger driver, a full range cone, like an 8-inch cone, and good amplification, you can skip the DSP because it's just going to sound good everywhere. You don't need, if you have DSP, it's because you have problems to solve. If you get rid of the problems, you don't need it. It's one of those big things that just gets overlooked. So, yeah. But anyways, yeah, 300 series, crazy price point. Then they got an in-wall too. The in-wall, it's a little 6-inch cone. And that one is, off the top of my head, what is that? It's like $225 or something like that. So, yeah, super inexpensive. So,
yeah, $225. So the 8-inch in ceiling and the 6-inch in wall are $225. The 6-inch in ceiling is $175.
Yeah, so you can build. Now, when you compare to what we started this conversation with earlier, if you're talking about a customer who's looking at home theaters in a box or simple solutions, now you've got them into a product that probably costs a little bit more than your basic, you know, off the main floor from a TV manufacturer, home theater in a box. You got someone that costs a little bit more than that, but super clean. You got an in-wall, an in-ceiling, like hybrid little system that you can run off an AVR, super simple. And it just looks clean and lasts a long time. I mean, I love that line. It solves a lot.
Yeah, the longevity. That's the biggest thing. I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't ever think about is, you know, they're like, oh, you're spending, you know, let's call it $1,250 plus a sub, $1,750. So you're just under $2,000. Let's call it $2,000 with the amp and everything. You know, and they're like, oh, that's ridiculous. But that, you know, you're going to have that at least 5 years. I mean, our warranty alone is going to cover 5 years.
And still, so you go past that 5 years, like,
other companies, isn't that worth it? Like,
there's other companies out there.
You know, a lot of these.
Sorry, go ahead, Pete.
A lot of these home theater in a box systems, or these other, like these shoe brands, are using paper cone tweeters, and they're using, you know, cheap plastics, and they're going to deteriorate, and they're going to start losing their quality of sound after a year, and it's going to deteriorate worse and worse. And in 5 years, you have to replace it maybe two or three times in that same amount of time. So why not?
It's
just
all coupled into that main unit, and HDMI is going to change their protocols in the next 10 minutes. So, like, you're still going to need to upgrade it anyways. So if you even go farther than that, if you can go with other companies when they're trying to do the same thing, a lot of them will offer, you know, lifetime warranties. And it's like, well, there you go. You're getting a lifetime warranty on a $150 to $200 speaker because they know that if something goes, they can just sell you another cheap – they can just send you another cheap plastic speaker that it costs them $2 to make. So what are you really getting? Whereas, you know, with our 5-year warranty, you're getting a quality speaker that's still going to last forever because it's a speaker. That's what speakers do. They just last unless you blow them up, and then shame on you. So, but we still repair.
Yeah. And all you have to really replace is the amp. Speaking of the amp, real quickly. So these have about 100 watts power handling for the M1s, about 80 watts for the CI300 series. What kind of amp would you, like, is that, what kind of wattage would you want from your amp? for these speakers? What would be ideal for you?
That's a big that's that old like audio
A square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square.
Like, you know? It's the audio.
Watt is a watt, but a watt's not really a watt.
Right. All the pitfalls that people fall into when they try to do their own research online. The ratings that you just brought up as far as what they're at, like we publish like the EQ curves of all the and the SPL readouts of all of our different speakers, all of the measurements that our speakers can produce, and that wattage is what we use to get those measurements. You can put more on there. I've at one point I was messing around at an MDC and I hooked up M1s to 600 watt monoblocks and they sounded awesome. I mean, like, you can give them as much as power as you want. it doesn't matter. You can, it's all about having realistic expectations for what you're going to get from the speaker. That's what I always tell people. If you want to play at the absolute top end of how loud they can play, give them more power. If you want smoother, more controlled, and, you know, you're going to be listening at lower volumes, you can, you know, dumb down's the wrong word, but bring the power level down to reinvest the money that you'll save on the power back into better electronics. You know what I mean? So you can kind of make it your own. I've found anything over 50 watts, you can play pretty loud, provided you tune the speakers correctly. They're small speakers, so have realistic expectations for bass output and extension. Those speakers start to slope probably around – actually, I don't want to say what the slope because I don't know when they slope. I found that if you set the crossover between 100 and 150 hertz, those puppies rip. They just scream. If you get them to they sound a little bit better if you tune it around 80 hertz, if you set that crossover around 80 hertz, but then they're kind of fighting to get down there a little bit. And if you're using it for theater purposes, I mean, I'm more inclined to like let them rip than I am to really bring out all the smooth and subtle details of, you know, a jazz record by having them slope a little more gentle.
So there's a full range of amplifiers.
Dude, any ABR. Yeah. Like literally any AVR on the shelf in Magnolia can handle these things.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's a, you know, that's going to be an incredible thing. I mean, for $1,750, you can get, you know, five M1s and an ASW 608. For $2,450, you can full have, you know, five M1s and four CCM 362s and a ASW 608 all in your, so you basically can get an Atmos system for under $2,500 minus the amp. You just add an amp, a couple hundred dollars more. You're looking at under $3,000 with wiring and everything for a full Atmos system. That's a pretty impressive price. I think that's going to kind of destroy any competition as far as a home theater and a box systems out there that I've seen that are being sold. Well, that's it for me. Anything you want to add on? Like anything you want to add?
Yeah, one thing. The CCM 362s. If you've got a customer who is building a home theater system in a pre-construction phase, the studs are down, you can order the pre-mount kits for those products right off of bwgroupusa.com, off of our parts store, and you can ship them directly to a customer's house if they're not cool with you going out and installing them yourself during these weird times that we're in. So yeah, you don't have to walk a sale, and you can get them. The pre-construction and the back boxes too. Pre-construction rings, back boxes, that's all available on bwgroupusa.com and you can ship directly to a customer's house.
Perfect. All right, Seth.
Me too, man.
Have a great day.